Good afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. Today, we are recording episode 114, believe it or not. And I am honored and I'm so glad to have her with me, Kristin Gutierrez. She's been a guest on the podcast before, but that was a long time ago. A lot of things have happened since then. I couldn't wait to get this recording on the go here because I love talking to you, A, and B, reminiscing on the time that we've worked together and what has happened in your life since then. And just to get a status of where we are right now, just let's get the chat on the go. So welcome to the channel. Good to see you again. Hopefully you're doing well.
Yes, Robin, always so fun. When I was like getting ready for today, I was, oh my gosh, I'll never forget. And I'll tell this story until the day I die. Everyone's like, Robin's such a great networker. I'm like, yeah. So Robin's company got acquired by mine, the company I worked at, and he became my boss. You became my boss, right? And everyone's like, oh, you're going to love him. You're going to love him. And so we went to Canada, Montreal. Were we in Montreal? Your stomping
ground? I think so. Yeah, market research thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just not like a superstar networker. You are the networker of all human people. And I tell you that all the time just because it's so impressive how it's not even about networking.
Appreciate it.
It's like human.
It's not an effort. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Thank you. And, you know, speaking of networking, which is very interesting, I am hosting a networking dinner in Toronto. It's taking place in mid-October and in around mid-October. I haven't defined the dates yet. So this is a sort of a dinner, you know, people come in after hours and we'll get a dinner together and exchange ideas with professionals in the city. Most of these individuals will be entrepreneurs, business leaders, etc. So, and the idea started from, you know, all this networking online, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But most of the meaningful conversation, and I know for myself, and you probably can attest to that, happens face-to-face, still we're a human being that we like to connect with people face-to-face. You can't take that out of us yet. Maybe the next generation will laugh at us for saying this, but there you go.
And nothing beats, like, this is great because it's one-on-one, so we feel like a little bit more connected than just a phone call. But when you get 3, 4, 5 people in a Zoom room, it is hard to network because somebody has to lead and then everybody needs equal opportunity time to participate so that they feel like they got something out of it. But what happens organically around a dinner table, you know, there isn't none of that yet.
That's right. And this dinner, Kristin, we're having is some sort of having a networking design dinner. So, example, the appetizer, you'll be sitting beside somebody. The main meal, you'll be sitting beside somebody else. And when the dessert comes in, you move around and you sit beside somebody else altogether. So the idea is behind this is by the end of the dinner, you've probably spoken to pretty much everybody you want to speak to. So, and forcing the conversation because naturally, human, unless there's some, people that are born for that, is they're a bit shy sometimes. And, you know, trying to force the conversation, sometimes it doesn't come out natural. But if you sit beside somebody breaking bread, you know, conversation starts to fly. Taking notes. That's right. Absolutely. So what's new with you?
Oh, my goodness. Well... I'm now a 2-time best-selling author.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Where am I getting my copy? Or is it on Amazon? No, I'll go buy it. You don't have to send me one. I'll support.
It's on Amazon. And I really feel like this book, we soft launched it already. We're doing like an official launch also in October. But it's such a good, even though it's twice the size of my first book, it's such a great read and people are just, it's not just like, oh, it's a great book. It's like, this is a productive framework. So we can talk about the 4-step framework that makes up Say Yes and Figure It Out because it helps us get into momentum. A lot of times we think momentum comes or like we'll feel happy or fulfilled or satisfied when we complete a goal, but dopamine gets released not at the end. It gets released at the beginning. It gets released when we make a decision and then it continues. So the 4-step framework helps us take massive imperfect action And that is it's an excellent tool for entrepreneurs and all humans on the planet.
Absolutely. And you had a first book. I remember when we first talked about a year and a half ago in 2023, you launched the first book. And what was the learning? Like, I know this when somebody does something, anything twice or three times or multiple times, you learn a few things. So what did you learn from the first time to the second time?
A few amazing things. A book is an awesome tool. Like, I first wrote Be a Better Sales Leader because I wanted to be the chief sales officer where I worked. And unfortunately, the CEO had other plans, which was to let me go. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, what happens to you, it's what happens for you. And it's been the best thing that ever.
I love that statement. Man, I'm going to coin that one.
It's the best thing that ever happened to and for me. And so what I realized was that having Be a Better Sales Leader come out right after I got let go, all of us, like at that time I was selling sales consulting and people were sliding into my DMs. Like, I read your book. Like, can we talk about consulting? And so the tool of what the book is, it opens doors and it starts conversations from the author's perspective. I mean, the byproduct of this as a tool is it's helping, the goal is to help millions of people around the world, like, overcome imposter syndrome and get unstuck and get out of their own way and learn that, like, failure is part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned was that, like, it doesn't have to be hard. There's like a hashtag now is like hashtag make it easy.
Yeah.
Not just because ChatGPT exists, which ChatGPT existed for Be a Better Sales Leader also.
Absolutely. So you use it as a tool to help others and hopefully generate some business for your practice.
Oh, I mean, it naturally, yeah, yes. If you market it right, if you talk about it, if you're having other people talk about it in the form of both reviews online, but also like in closed communities, that is where things take off like wildfire. So yes, you talk
absolutely
about other people talking about it.
Absolutely. Now, you've been on your own for how long now? 2 years, 3 years? So talk to me about the life before and the life after.
The best compliment I ever got, and this is like over a year ago, was like, wow, Kristen, like people like you who knew me in person, but also because of corporate, they were like, you're showing up online now as the person I know in person. This wasn't like the facade that I had on LinkedIn or other platforms. And I feel like I always needed to represent my employer.
That's right.
Now I am my employer.
It's quite different, the character that you take on, right?
Yeah. So now I'm fully authentically me. And
that's right.
The fact that it's been recognized by lots of other people, that's very fulfilling. But that's the other thing is, just like any career trajectory, right? You're going to take a job and then take a different job to take a different job. You're going to go up and down, obviously, is the life also of an entrepreneur. Like, I've had some very challenging days, but
I assume
more.
And it's not necessarily, to one industry. You're not stuck to one industry. You're horizontal. You can go any industry per se. Not necessarily what you've learned in one industry could be applied to any other industry. Am I correct?
Correct. Yeah. But so could, a lot of us have that, right? Because even as a VP of sales, or are you still in the industry? I should have looked. You're still working on all the things.
Well, I mean, I haven't given you my update yet, but go on. I'll give you my update in a second.
I was like, Robin, what's up? And he's like, we're waiting for the recording. So, okay, here we are. But any good... All of us should recognize that no matter what industry we're in, our skills are transferable.
Correct.
That's how moms who left the workforce to stay home, they can come back into the workforce, presumably without much lost time because of the skill set they picked up being at home, right? Kids and all of that. So yes, I am omnipresent.
Omnipresent, omnipresence. I love that one. Verse. You know what? You bring a very valid point, because when I joined the language industry 22, 23 years ago, I had no idea existed. I started an industry I thought I'll end up in. come from a tech, as you know, I come from a tech background. And recently I started writing my own codes and stuff. So writing my own programs. So it's pretty interesting. I just dabble around with things just to see if I still have the skills that I once thought I had. And it turns out, yes, it's like learning, you learn to ride a bike in your younger age, and you sort of don't for a while. And then you come back and say, I want to go back, ride the bike again. So that's how it feels to me. So I wrote a few programs. I'm in the process of commercializing, hopefully one software. I'm not sure if that's going to work out. We'll see how that goes. But there are a few things that when you mentioned, like there are transferable skills, you indeed a very valid point, very correct in saying that, because we're not, I hear a lot of people focus on product knowledge, which to me, it sounds like, you have to be born. Like if somebody's hiring for a VP sales, for instance, example, and they would like them to be in industry A versus industry B, and they almost want them to be born and raised in that industry, which to me sounds like a moronic way of saying, whoever you're hiring, they must be not able to learn a new product and services. I remember back in the days when we have a new product and service, I used to read the data sheet on my way to do a presentation for the customer. Like, how hard is it?
Right. Well, here's the thing. You know the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, right?
Yep.
So when he wrote the book in the 30s, he started studying the wealthiest people on the planet, like Andrew Carnegie at the time and others, because he wanted to know, do the wealthiest people have like similar characteristics? He found out they do. They have like 17 characteristics that are all the same. But this is the thing. None of them were born with the characteristics. They all learned as they, became wealthy. So like they learned how to have specialized skill. They learned how to be in networking communities with other like-minded people to help everybody. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. learned these things. And that's the point, is we shouldn't be hiring per se. I mean, depending on the role, but like, should I become a coder? No, I have no knowledge of that.
Right? You don't need to. No need for that. And which brings me to an update on my side, which I was waiting for the breaking news, I guess. I am no longer with Lionbridge effective August 31st. So that's 2 days ago. And my first day on my new job is recording podcasts with Kristen. So and it feels strange a little bit, to be honest with you, when you work for somebody for a company for that many years, and your first day, I don't know. I still have a full calendar, I guess. I have no idea how and why, but there you go. And now I am charting a new territory. That's why I was asking about, I'm interested to talk to you about your experiences and what led you to make decisions the way you've made them and where you are right now and how do you feel about them. There's a lot of learning in there. And I'm not the only one. I don't think I am the only one. I'm thinking like the many industries in the service business, like including language industries, they're all going through transformation. They're all going through rationalization of workforce. And these individuals that they're no longer in these capacities, they're probably going to have the same question mark. Like, what do I do with my days? What do I do with my next phase of my career?
And knowing that, even in your corporate career, your entrepreneur, like I'm in season two of my entrepreneurial journey, because about 9 months after I started my own company, right? The day I got let go from my job. So there's a few lessons in here. But the day I got let go from my job, I launched my business. I won my first client at 2 p.m. that day. And that became the premise of Say Yes and Figure It Out, because I just never stopped moving. And as humans, we seek comfort. And a lot of times it's taking a nap on the couch or binge watching our favorite show, or in my case, eating a box of Oreos. Like, that's just what I like to do. Okay. But I subconsciously chose to seek comfort in action. I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, but I went through my four-step framework hundreds of times a day for the whole first week I got let go. And that is how I've snowballed momentum. But then 9 months into being my own boss, a client was like, I gotta hire you. And I was already consulting. So I was like, yeah, this sounds like a great fit. I was going through a financial crisis, a divorce, all types of crazy things. So I thought, okay, maybe my ego is in my way and I should take this job. Well, luckily it was 4 months of employment with this company and it didn't work out. And that was the day I drew the line in the sand and said a few things. No one else's opinions pay my bills. And this is it for me. Like, I will make this entrepreneur thing work. Because when I worked for them, it was a great job. I loved the team. I just felt like I had given it all away. Like, oh my gosh, this feeling of fulfillment, which you either have already or those of us working for ourselves, we have when we're stepping into our expertise and monetizing it especially, but like also truly just helping other people with our gift. That is where I would like, and I still do this, like walk outside with my hands in the air, thanking the universe that this is.
Yeah. Because at the beginning, I'm assuming it's a little bit tougher to get it launched, like everything else, I guess. And then you find your groove, I guess, you find your rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, because I can administratively outwork anybody. I'm used to a full calendar. I think there's a screenshot in this book, or I talk about it on my masterclasses, where in October of 2023, which is about 8 months after, right before this job, I was in back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, either implementing what I had sold or, like a good salesperson, prospecting for more business.
Others, yeah.
Yeah, and that just isn't a way that I was like, why am I burning out? Why do I love what I'm doing but burning out? Like, how am I supposed to make millions, respectfully, if I'm the one having to do all this work? And so I thought, well, maybe it's outsourcing sales. And that wasn't it for me. It was learning to sell a system, not myself. And then it was a learning how to charge higher prices for what I'm worth. So now,
yeah, Robin,
I have a $250,000 VIP day, which is like wild. But unless I was in community, like Napoleon Hill says, with my mentors and other like-minded entrepreneurs who are also moving at the speed of light, making $20 million, $50 million a year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
You're hanging out with the right people.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. You're hanging out with the right people.
Right? Your circles change and they evolve.
You mentioned something very interesting. You know, when an individual, you know, you and I have been through this, work for a corporation for many years, you're sort of hiding under a corporate rock, I call it. And it's very interesting you mentioned that, because in a lot of ways, there are aspects of your capabilities and your skills are pretty much kept untouched. It's like you sort of like, you know where the gold mine is, but you're not allowed to go there. It's restricted area for some reason. And then when you're off that, you know, you're off the reservation, as they say, and you're going doing your own thing, then you are free to explore that. You're free to activate it, if you will. And I think that's what you did.
It is. And it's also understanding through that process that it's a journey, like anything. It sounds so obvious once we say it. And that iteration is the name of the game. Like, ironically, I tried to launch Be a Better Sales Leader over a year. Or I keep saying that. This is Say Yes and Figure It Out. I tried to launch Say Yes and Figure It Out over a year ago. And it's all good. I just didn't launch it the right way. I was selling it as imposter syndrome. People don't want to admit that they have imposter syndrome, although all of us do. I'll be like, I have imposter syndrome every second of every day. You know, fake it till you make it. But when I learned how to repackage it 6 months after that, that's when I was able to come out with the book. So iterating how we show up, trying to unlock the skill set that we always knew we had in us, and like winning a client. And then what do I like about that? What do I not like about that? How do I personally invest in more mentorship, how do I put myself in closer proximity to other people who are where I want to be? That is how everything has happened now in my world, like why I sell high ticket offers, why I help entrepreneurs, why I can leverage, you know, when I came out with this like massive offer, it was like, oh, that was like a final unlock for me. Because think about the corporate mega contracts we would win at Lionbridge.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar, 18-month sales cycles. Negotiating like thick legal contracts, managing stakeholders at various levels across different departments. These are real skill sets, but I didn't realize at first how to monetize that skill within me and then how to charge the right.
No, you do. Well, this is the key, right? So it's to take the what you know and productize it and put a wrapper around it that says, here's how much I'm going to charge for it. And you mentioned something very interesting at the beginning of your journey as an independent entrepreneur. You mentioned that you gave something away and you felt sorry after that. And I feel like you felt like I could have charged more now that I know what I know now. I've gotten a little bit more money for it. And I feel like, to me personally, I feel like I give a lot away for free. Advice. Sometimes you're doing consulting, but you don't know you're doing consulting. A lot of people, they get you in for a coffee conversation to solve a problem for them. And, you know, I even end up buying the coffee. It's pretty interesting the way you come across as the way you articulated it is that, no, hang on a second now. This is worth something and I'm going to have to charge for it.
Yes, right. I mean, there's a few schools of thought there, but one is always be upfront. Like if I'm hopping on a call with somebody that I like land in their D, I use the same framework I used in corporate to get big localization buyers to answer my DMs when they weren't answering anybody's cold outreach, right? I use that same framework to talk to other entrepreneurs or land on podcasts or keynotes. And then I'm very upfront. Like, this is my skill set. And then are you open to receiving an offer? Right. About 10 minutes into the call, if that's where it goes. Otherwise, can we collaborate? Like there's always something in the conversation, whether in person for coffee or, you know, on a Zoom. But it's like, what's in it for you and what's in it for me and how can we mutually come together? But who do you know? So can I use it for a referral? Can I use it for collaboration? Or can you become my client? Like, what does that look like? And then it's learning the skill set of charging higher prices because it's a service, but it's a system, right? So it's like, man, we could teach the localization industry how to, everybody's been saying this forever, increase the rate so that the translators get paid more and the companies make more profitability, like win-win because of the value. But nonetheless, you could look at...
True, everybody's got one, yeah. That's right. Defining your self-worth too, because there's some worth, a value that is worth for your time, for your effort, and, you know, putting the right price tag on it. Of course, when you're in front of different target audience, be it market or be it customer, depends on the customer you're talking to, I guess.
100%. That's so fascinating because, like, most entrepreneurs are accidental salespeople. That's the thing. I also tried to lead for a long time with sales, but it wasn't selling because the entrepreneurs called to my voice. They didn't think that they had a sales problem.
Nobody does.
All good. I teach them other systems. I teach them a system on how to make more money. That's what I teach entrepreneurs now, is how to make more money. And then I give them my sales strategies. Right? Because, you know, and I know as sales professionals, once we look under the hood, there's a few things. A, everybody has a sales problem. And B, the strategies and tactics that worked in corporate are also transferable as an
entrepreneur. 100%. Big time. And you know what? It's like, and I compare it, I'm going to use this analogy as a part of comparison. It's just like buying a fast car. That's when you're working for corporate. And you park it in your driveway and you're only allowed to take it to the end of the street and come back. And in a zone of 50 miles per hour, right? Meanwhile, it idles at 50, right? when you leave the corporate world, now you can put the pedal to the metal, as they say in the car world. And then you can do whatever you want. It's pretty much an open season for you to do what you wanted to do best, right? So, and I always been... you know, for me, I always been just like you. I always been one of those individuals that, you know, I have a lot of faith in the corporation that hired me. I have a lot of loyalty to the corporation that hired me. And, you know, this is just being ethical, I guess. I remember back in the days I was working for a company, a telephone company, no longer exists now. It's bought by, you know, the Bell Alliant companies now. And I remember it was a subsidy that they sent me on a subsidy to another company that they bought a company and sent me on a loan to one of them. Excuse me, everybody. I need a glass of water. And so I ended up in San Francisco and I worked for them as a database architect for them. And this individual came in who owns the company, came in to me. He says, "So what does it take for you to leave the company that hired you originally?" I said, "Look, my loyalty is with them." He said, "Come to my office." So I go to his office and it's on the 7th floor on, I think the street is called Union Square in San Francisco. I can't remember the name of the street, just downtown. All I know is I go to his office on the 7th floor, the parking lot behind, it's all glass windows. And he points out to like a 20 Porsche, different colors parked in his driveway. And he's so proud of those. I said, "Who are these for?" He said, "Those are for my employees. I want you to be one of them." So, and he goes on the board and he writes like how many stocks I could possibly own and all that stuff, right? I'm not naming any names. I can't name any names. I've got the receipts. Don't worry, guys. I'm not making up the story. So, and then he says to me, "Here's the number." And he put a number, like it's pretty, pretty big number at the time. I mean, I'm talking early 90s. I said, "All looks good, but I gave my word. I gave my word to the other guys. I just can't do that. How do I do that?" And it was so bad for me to break the word, which is my word, a bond. It's like a bigger than a contract in my head than the money that was being put in front of me. And it's now I guess I still have the same mindset, but I want to use that to my advantage now.
Yeah, no, and there's it's good to be. So a lot of times when I'm winning clients, I'll say, okay, the price is X, but you can pay Y now. And you can pay the rest after you get results. And the reason I started to do it that way is, well, that was the last mentor who I bought from did it. And I needed that offer because I couldn't afford the whole package. And B, a lot of people, there's two types of buyers in my world. There's buyers like me who have invested in personal development a lot, even from my corporate days. I was constantly trying to invest in my own self. And I've spent a lot of money and it didn't always work. Right. And then there's people who have never invested in anything. And so what happens over here when people are investing a lot of money, they say they'll get burned by a mentor. "Oh, I didn't get everything you promised." And like they become victims, the buyers. And it's really unfortunate, but I've seen it a lot in the circles I've run in. And delivering in this way, it's like a little bit now and the rest after you get results means if you don't get results, then I'm not going to chase your money.
In fact, yes, right.
Canceled a couple contracts recently because they were open for over a year. And I'm like, "Hey, like, can I over deliver and do something else with you? Or should we simply just mutually agree to walk away?"
Yeah.
But that's like the maturity of taking what you're saying, your word should always be your word. And so I know it's crazy to think like that was probably a fork in the road for you. Like, "Oh my gosh, what would have happened?" I think of days like I tried getting jobs at the cruise lines. Like I wanted to move to Florida and I interviewed at Royal Caribbean. I interviewed at Carnival and I'm like a young 22 year old and they don't want to hire me at all. I have no idea why. I end up selling Yellow Page advertising for Yellow Book. That's what I did out of college.
Wow.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you have, especially as an entrepreneur, right? You have your work. And then you have the brand that you build around that. But there is a way, which also brings us back to the point earlier, like there's always a way to over deliver and there's always a way, productize it. So sell a system, whether you're selling to corporate or to other entrepreneurs or anything in between.
Yeah. And for you, like what would be, you know, for those who are listening, we seem to be, you know, I'm going to ask you like a definite question right now. If somebody listening to this and says they want to hire you, what would they be hiring you for? I get it. But what kind of product and services that you're offering or services that you'd be offering within that context? Is it sales development or is it, you know, strategies? What would you offer?
Yeah. So my sweet spot now with this VIP offer is to work with an entrepreneur who's at $2 million plus, because that's when we really start to see some real pain about scaling. Now, I got stuck scaling at five-figure months, so this doesn't exclude other people. It's just when you're at about $2 million, you're like, ooh, what do I do? Do I hire a bunch of team? Because the whole name of the game is like, how do you help people and have a lot of fun and not have to die in the calendar on implementation and back to back to back, right? And while delivering something that actually is meaningful, like a productized system. So most of my clients these days, they already have their own offers. So they're entrepreneurs, they're coaches, course creators or consultants, and they're selling offers to their end client. They might be in the health niche, the wealth niche, the relationship niche, and they're stuck. They might be stuck at five-figure months like I was, or they're stuck at like the $2 million mark. And they need me to come in, and this, it sounds wild, but often it's 1%. One of my CEOs always said that it's like, turn the dial just 1%. It isn't some big, like, let me totally change your business. There's really successful entrepreneurs that come out there and do that, but I'm going to help them elevate their offers. I'm going to help them sell one to many. A lot of times these coaches, they have a sales team and they're selling one-to-one. They're getting on phone calls or on Zoom calls to close them into their $7,000 course or their $30,000 mastermind. So I take a look behind the hood to see what offers do they have, and mm-hmm. are they structured the right way? And then how are they selling? Is it one-to-one? How do they start selling more one-to-many? And then I help them execute that so that when they're done working with me, they have installed a system into their business.
Yep. Of course. And do you have to believe in the product or services that your eventual customer is selling, or does it matter to you? Like if something somebody comes into you and say, hey, we do this, whatever the service or the product is, and you may agree or disagree with it. You may say, well, I don't feel like I want to promote this, or I don't believe that what you're doing has a market or something. Do you get into that or you don't?
Well, it's a fine line. A, ethically and morally, I have a line. Okay. But if we're not assuming that, the bigger thing is, are you coachable?
Oh yeah, you're right. Are you stuck in your own ways or?
Are you willing to hear feedback that you might not find favorable, but all of my feedback, like if you're called to my voice to have me help you make more money or turn the dial 1% or change your offers or sell one to many, then there's something about me or the systems or the things you've seen online that really resonates with you. So then it's a matter of like, I don't want to work with people who aren't coachable and who are just really rigid, because it's way more fun, for example, to have my client Teresa. When I worked with her the first time, Robin, this is going to sound crazy maybe to you, but she did $86,000 in one day.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing.
So money in all worlds loves speed.
Correct. Yeah, for sure.
Your money loves speed.
Velocity.
Right. Your money wants you to work fast enough in these initial days, right, to get momentum. Your client's money paying you, it wants you, you know, your system to work fast. And so that was that. Teresa then hired me back a second time. She just did a $60,000 day. And we're contracted for another event. So it's kind of like, now she has this system. She's using me to co-host and like run these virtual events with her. Now it's kind of like a partnership. It's a friendship. I went to Tucson, Arizona to meet with her. Sometimes these opportunities take off.
Of course, they develop a life of their own.
Yeah, right. But other times it is solution-based yet transactional. It's like, you hired me for this thing. We installed this system into your business and now you can run to the races, because I can give them all the strategies to,
Correct. Have you ever come across, especially when you're talking about the $2 million entrepreneurs and up, have you ever come across the entrepreneurs or CEOs who are originally the idea people, but they're not necessarily the selling people or the business people or the CEO material, very good at creating idea, innovating, et cetera, but they're not necessarily the you know, the people that they're going to be taking it to the next level. What's your opinion on that?
I mean, I want to know your opinion because I think it's so common.
It is.
Right? Or like me, I'm just now hiring a VA. I've tried this. And I've gone 2.5 years without any support. And we just had a call right before now.
Yeah.
Onboarding my VA. And it's like the woman in charge, she was like, "You've done all of this yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah." And I know how much money I'm leaving on the table by not, I know what I'm supposed to connect. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to route people through. I sometimes just don't do it. And so I'm a different example of what you just described, but I'm aware that I have my own shortcomings. I don't worry.
We all do, but I mean, you've seen it before where CEOs, an engineer who creates a product or creates a service, and they're so tied into the idea that they have no idea that how to, you know, either take it to the market or explain it in a way that the market can understand it, etc. And I've seen this over and over and over again. And the other misnomer that I always, misconception that I always see around is that the idea person thinks business development and sales can happen, you know, just by snap of a finger, because that's the easiest part of the business, really. No, the idea is the biggest complication in creating a business. But selling it should be easy. You know, I can call my cousin and we'll do that. I've heard these conversations many times. And I laugh at that because if that's the thinking. Maybe they need people like you to get them out of the rat hole they're in.
Yes, but are they coachable? But you know, so there's Myron Golden, this really well-known coach. He talks about something called the 4 levels of value. And level 1 is implementation. Level 2 is unification. Implementers, they work with their hands to make money. It's you and me, or it's my VA, respectfully, right? Unifiers are people like you and me who are getting paid typically within a company to manage a group of people like herding cats, right? And we have our own ideas. And a lot of times we're infiltrating our team with our ideas, but we're ultimately taking marching orders from somebody else. And then, you know, how that goes. And so in both implementation and unification, there's a cap of income, a cap of potential. And, you know, even in the unification, it's like $500,000 a year. It's not that bad. It's just a lot of us feel like we're made for more, that we're called to do something bigger. And that's where level 3 and level 4 come in. So level 3 is communication, speakers, authors, comedians, actors. The cap there is like 100 million. So like somebody say, that's okay. Like, that's pretty good. It's like learning to use your voice to communicate.
Yeah.
And podcasts. So thank you.
And podcasting, of course, Kristen.
And level 4 is imagination. So imagination is why I only work 11 to 2, is because the rest of the day I'm living in my imagination. This is a skill set I had turned off accidentally because society said, "Kristen, stop living in your imagination, get back to reality." And I believed that lie my whole adulthood until literally I heard about 4 levels of value and I thought, oh my gosh. People like Walt Disney, people like Elon Musk, like love them or hate them. It's just people who are making ideas out of nothing. Thomas Edison, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Most of us need to start living in our imagination more. I teach my 7-year-old now to live in his imagination so that society doesn't turn it off for him. But imagination, it's, you know, you do need implementation. So I think that's where, depending if it's you, you can come in and you can help a company install the right systems and operations.
That's right.
Their ideas, out of their head and more practically speaking, making money and making the engine flow.
Absolutely. So what's next for you? You're having fun though. You're smiling a lot, which is great. I love to see that. You seem to be having fun with that.
Yeah. I landed myself on a ginormous podcast that's going to launch me to the moon. I'm so excited.
Great.
From there, I want to be on Mel Robbins, if you're listening, or Jay Shetty. Like, please, Kristen.
Call me, yes. Oh, this is so fun.
More of this. This is just like more of this. Like, I want to get Say Yes and Figure It Out. You know, I want to impact over 1 million lives with that. And like,
yep.
I believe now it's okay to also make money while you're having fun and impacting lives.
True, true. And you know, you mentioned very good word, because most people are shy about saying that. It's okay to say, I want to make money. It is not out of the ordinary. It's not like an anti, whatever you want to call it, human to say, I want to make more money. It should be okay to say that. It should be part of our conversation. Most people, they think they want to make more money. They keep it here and they don't proclaim it. They don't put it out there. And it's very amazing, because I work with a lot of people and they don't ever talk about this one. It's like something unspoken. It's like some dirty word that nobody wants to talk about, right? But it's very true, though. And I truly believe in, once you say something, when you put it out there, people at least know about it. People at least hear it.
Right. No, right. Yes. 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 Keep going, Robin. Yes.
If you don't say you want to make more money, if you don't say I'm looking for X, you know, like take a small thing. Like I lose my key. I go around the house. You know, I ask my wife, where's my key? If I don't ask her, I'm going to be running around looking for the key for a while.
I know, right? Yeah, right. We have to declare what we want. I had to do a lot of, I'm like, I'm safe to receive money. Because $100,000, $200,000 here in corporate, like that felt like a lot of money, you know?
It's peanuts.
Yeah. So
now I know that.
Kind of like, how do I call in the millions?
And that's right.
Impact lots of people. You know, it's so fulfilling, as you like, even with the podcast, right? Like it's so fulfilling helping others.
I love that.
And that is where ultimately all the millions of dollars resides, is tapping into your own zone of genius to then help others.
100%. And for our audience, look, I mean, for those who are out there who are saying, you know, this is a good conversation. I like this conversation. Ask yourself this question. Do you like to make more revenue? Do you like to make more profit? And if the answer is no, I think you should pack it up. You should leave what you're doing and go do something else. If the answer is yes, then you should call Kristen. You should talk to her.
Yeah.
How did I do?
A+, you're hired. You are hired.
Oh, man, I can do this forever.
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you something when we hang up offline. I'm going to keep it just for you and me. But you could do this forever.
Kristen, you're so fun.
Make a very good living with it, let me tell you. Make a very good living with it.
So. Speaking of that, do you remember when we did travel together to Germany to visit a customer or something? I don't know. What was that? Was it a customer? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. We've been around, huh? No, am I back online here? Yeah, don't worry about this. Don't worry about it. It gets better. Hey, by the way, send me a picture of that book so I can put it in the social stuff. Oh, well, all right, excellent. And I'll do an image grab from this one. But if you can send me like a JPEG of the cover, that'd be great. Absolutely. And anything else you'd like to update the audience on?
Let's have fun. I think I never had fun in corporate. I didn't give myself permission. I was always accidentally, subconsciously scared about, and I had phenomenal bosses, like phenomenal people. I got very lucky. And so for everybody else in the world who's not lucky like I was, they're probably 10 times more scared, right?
Yep.
But, and I get it. If you are representing another company, you might not be able to wear like a low neck.
Yeah. And you know, we live in a society that, and just my, I guess my conclusion, we live in a society that graduates from the education system, employees, not entrepreneurs, to a lesser degree, entrepreneurs versus employees. Everybody graduates from somewhere, dreams about working for somebody, not for themselves. And, you know, the real graduation happened is when you went to corporate and you graduated from that. And then after corporate, there is a life after corporate. That's what everybody tells me. There's a life out there. and try to figure it out. I guess that's where we are right now. Kristen figured it out. I hope everybody does. And I hope everybody gets as beautiful of a smile as Kristen's smile. So hopefully one of these days.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so honored to be your first guest on your 2.0 version.
Absolutely. I'm going to call it season 2 now.
And congratulations to you. This is the beginning of the best part of your life.
Absolutely. For the audience, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And Kristen, thank you so much for being a guest on this podcast. And for our audience, hey, keep an eye on a few things we're updating on the channel. One is I'm launching a merch store, which will be attached to the YouTube part of the channel. So you can buy your widgets there, your merch. There are a few designs coming out. I've got somebody working on for me on this one, and they'll be added to the channel if you want to buy a souvenir. We're adding things like I have been on the podcast, t-shirt or hat or maybe a phone case. And those are just souvenirs. Trust me, I don't make money off of them. I'm not going to be another Kristen here in terms of the amount of money I'm going to be making off of this. Just to try to, I hear a lot of good things about this podcast from people, and it's a good thing to have souvenirs for people who wants to buy those souvenirs. Feel free to do that. And for the rest of our audience, thank you so much again for joining me on this today's journey with Kristen Gutierrez. Kristen, I wish you best of luck in everything you do, and you may transform the world the way you want to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Bye, everybody.